You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following our discussion with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, we decided to further break down the National Party's new KiwiSaver policy with Robert McCulloch, the Matthew S. Abel Chair of Macroeconomics and Professor in the Faculty of Business and Economics at the University of Auckland. Here's what he thought about the newly announced policy by National. Luxon is aiming to match the Australians with this policy, but you've stated that National's version is much weaker than Australia's. Can you explain why?
Yes. Well, Luxon announced is unworkable, and it hasn't been thought through. It was a comms announcement. It has no economic content whatsoever. And the reason for that is the two systems, Australia's and New Zealand's, are completely different. Australia has a compulsory scheme. The whole of Australia is in that scheme. Employers pay 12%. In New Zealand, around a fifth of the population aren't even in KiwiSaver. And of the ones who are aged between 18 and 65, around 10 to 15% aren't even contributing. So you've got around a third of this nation aren't actually contributing anything to KiwiSaver. So you can't announce a scheme like he has, where you're going to dramatically increase contributions when a third of the country can't afford to pay anything into it. They just don't have the money to pay. So it's an unworkable scheme as he announced it. The way you got to do it, I wrote a bunch of papers on this over the last decade, is should you wish people to contribute more, you have to accompany that with tax cuts for low-income earners so that their disposable income doesn't drop. You've got to help them get them into KiwiSaver. That may involve a subsidy, a wealth transfer from rich to poor. The Aussies put the burden entirely on the employer as well, but also accompanied it with corporate tax cuts. So it's quite a complicated thing. Paul Keating spent years of his life working on this in Australia. It's not straightforward. You've got to combine the sort of savings reform with tax reform as well. So what Luxon announced was purely marketing. It was comms. It was an absolute load of hogwash. There's nothing in it at all. There's no economic content whatsoever to what Lux announced. There was a political motive behind it because he's scared that the Labor and NZ First may be moving on savings and he isn't. But I think the time in New Zealand has got to stop when politicians are just doing PR comms and marketing announcements. I mean, Christopher Luxon used to work at Unilever. His job was marketing, selling products and branding. You can't run a country thinking that you go on TV and do a Unilever-style marketing campaign like you're releasing a new product. He's actually messing with people's lives and their livelihoods. You shouldn't just reduce it to a kind of PR marketing announcement.
Why do you think this policy doesn't help low-income workers?
Well, because a huge chunk of them aren't in KiwiSaver. So around a fifth of them aren't even in it. They can't afford to contribute. They can't come up. You know, families who are struggling to pay the bills can't then sequester quite a large chunk of their income to put in a savings account. They can't afford it. They need the money now. So you have to design a system where you can bring them in and either the employer pays or you give that family tax relief or help. And you do have to bring them into it. You can't run a nation where a third of the country is not in the country's in its flagship savings scheme. Otherwise, Lux was saying, well, a 21-year-old will retire with over a million. What, he wants half the country to have over a million and half the country to have nothing and in poverty? He would explode inequality. You have to bring the whole nation with you. Everyone's got to be part of it. His scheme is just a complete load of bunkum. But really, I mean it very seriously. He cannot play games with people's lives where you release a policy where you haven't given any thought as to how you can bring a third of the population into the scheme. You can't leave behind so many people. It's like saying a third of the country can't go to hospital for healthcare. We're going to leave behind a third of the country. It's unacceptable what he announced. I'm surprised the mainstream media aren't querying him more about it, because there's no economic content to what he announced.
One question I have with this, along with the other ones, is what's stopping employers from just lowering salary rates to adjust for the increased KiwiSaver contribution?
Well, yes, it's a good question, and it's come up a bit from the accountants, this idea of what do they call it, full remuneration packages. That issue has been long studied in economics. It's called sort of the pass-through, how much of the employer's increased contribution, payroll tax, will be passed on to the employee. And there are dozens of articles in economics which have estimated that. It turns out to be an empirical question. It varies greatly in countries. Sometimes they pass on a lot of it, sometimes very little of it. And it depends on a lot of factors. You get into quite difficult economics on how the labour market works. I mean, an employer can say, well, we're going to try to say to an employer, well, should we have to pay 6% or 12%, we're going to cut your wage by 12%. Well, they can try it, but an employee might say, well, screw you, I'm not going to work for you, I'll work for someone else who's not going to pass it on. So, you know, there are issues like the competitiveness of the labour market, whether labour can reject those sort of offers. So there are a whole lot of factors which determine how much employers can pass on. So it's not up to the employer. They don't have full power with that, because they may turn away employees, you see. So, you know, when it's a competitive market for labour, you know, it's not obvious they can always do that.
But don't you think that the power is with them right now because of the lack of jobs, that, you know, employees can't just say, I'll go work for someone else, because there might not be someone else to work for?
Could be, yeah. The power can change like that. And, you know, an employee may be forced to accept a lower wage. By the way, to the extent that you're right, so it could well happen, and a lot of articles in economics say quite a chunk of it is passed on. They have these quite high payroll taxes, they call them, in Europe. And there's an argument that in many of the countries, as you say, a chunk of it has been passed on. Now, the way in the articles that on reform of the saving system that I did, the way we dealt with that was simply giving lower wage workers tax relief, a tax cut to give them more disposable income that way. So the government may well have to help low-income workers with transfers or with tax relief to account for that factor, should employers try to reduce their wage in that way. So you're right, that the government may well have to give them assistance or give them a transfer, give them a tax relief, to the extent that employers start doing that and take advantage of weak labour.
Do you think then that the Nationals' plan needs tweaks or a complete overhaul?
It's a bunkum plan. It's not a matter of tweaking it. It hasn't been thought out. I don't take it seriously at all. It's not economics. What they released was not economics at all. I mean, I've spent 30 or 40 years on the subject. I've spent 10 years working on this issue with a former finance minister of New Zealand, who actually introduced the first compulsory savings scheme in the country. The plan is it's not a plan. It's just Lux I think it's actually quite disturbing to have a prime minister who thinks he's still working for Unilever and he's rolling out a new brand of washing detergent, and he just comes up with a good marketing line. This isn't a policy. This is just a sort of advertising gimmick. There's nothing in the policy. You know, when you have a third of the country who can't afford to contribute, and he's saying we're going to ramp up those contributions, people can't make them. They can't afford to make them at all. And he's leaving behind a third of the country. You have to bring the whole country with you. In the articles that I did on it, you have to combine this reform to the extent, like you say, employers are going to pass on some of their extra contributions. You have to give tax relief, assistance, transfers to low-income earners to help them into the system. And that involves a fiscal reform, a tax reform that has to go hand in hand with the KiwiSaver reform. You've got to help low-income earners into it. None of that's been thought out. I know that for a fact because I know folks in the Beehive, in his office. I know his chief policy advisors. And none of that has been thought out at all. This is just a political comms announcement. But I think when you're playing with people's lives and you're playing with the lives of a third of the country, the low earners who can't afford to get by, and you're coming up with this line that, oh, well, just they can give up a whole extra chunk of their income and it'll be a wonderful thing. They'll all be millionaires when they're 65. No, they won't. They're not even in KiwiSaver. And a chunk of them are in it aren't even contributing because they're suffering hardship. So it's not a plan. It's actually a con job.
And that was Robert McCulloch from the University of Auckland on why he finds National's new KiwiSaver policy disturbing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.